نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation, an addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I start my khutbah today with a simple question, and I assume that all of you will know the answer, or at least most of you will know the answer. Although that you may know the answer, I don't know the answer. The question is, why Muslims celebrate the beginning of the Hijra year? And for a few seconds, I want you to give the answer to yourself. Think and reflect. Why Muslims celebrate the beginning of the Hijra year? And by the time you process in the answer, I want to remind you about something. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave Mecca, or he been forced to leave Mecca? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Mecca in his own choice, or been driven away out of Mecca? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave Mecca for a summer break, for a vacation, or did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been informed that there is a plot been plotted against him and is going to be happening that day? Put yourself for a moment in the shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and think, if you know that the immigration or the FBI or whatever it is, this kind of forces that try to get you in a couple of hours, how do you feel? Why do you celebrate the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't leave in his own. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had to leave. So I don't know what he's celebrating and why he's celebrating. Yes, there is a lot of Muslims celebrate the Hijra year. And when you get one of so-called Islamic calendar, you found among the holidays and the special days that the beginning of the new year. Do you know, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't happen in Muharram? Do you know this? The Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Rabi al-Awwal. So if you be supposed to celebrate, you're supposed to celebrate in Rabi', not in Muharram. Because the Hijra, if it's supposed to be a good occasion for you, or a happy occasion for you, or one of your festivals, the Prophet didn't migrate in Muharram. Now, why does Muslims celebrate the Hijra? Me, I don't know. But does Islam say celebrate the Hijra? Of course not. I know this answer. But the other answer for the first question, I don't know it. We have told you before, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us that this deen بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ. This religion starts as a stranger and will turn back to the original state that will be a stranger. So will be common to see Muslims celebrating the Hijra, and will be strange to see a mosque or an imam discouraging the people or telling the people this is not part of Islam. Do you know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already aware about Hijra from day one? What happened when Khadija radiallahu anha took the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to her cousin Waraqa ibn Nawfal, and he informed him about what he saw, what scared him in the cave, and what was the response of Waraqa? He told him that he's going to be the prophet of this ummah. And what had came to him is the same angel that who had came before to Moses, the one who carries the revelation. So you are the chosen one, the selected one by Allah for this ummah. And what was the wish of Waraqa? His wish death, I wish I would remain alive. This moment when they drive you out of your country, Muhammad, and I will support you, I will help you, I will give you hand. With not only the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Waqa even know why. Our mukhrijina hum, are they going to put me out of my city? Say yes. It's something usual. It's a common practice. Any prophet came before you with something similar to what you're coming with, they force him. They put him out of the country, persecuted him, tried to get him. And this is the sunnah for the Anbiya, for the prophets, for the messengers, and for the dua. And for the dua, it's nothing new. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he tells the people la ilaha illallah and I am the messenger of Allah, you know how they used to love him, respect him, honor him, and even they put the trustees, they gave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam whatever value in their life to be trusted with him. But when he came to tell them la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, now he is not the same person, because he coming with something that they are not ready for it. They don't want it. They don't want the authority to be to Allah. The declaration of order and halal and haram be from Allah. They want this kind of tribalism, and the head and the chief of the tribe, he's the one who has the authority, and this one have authority, and we can share authority, and we can do it. But somebody else to tell us, Allah tell us what to do, what not to do, we are not ready for this. So we can understand that when the true da'iyah comes and tells the people the true deen, he can be prepared for persecution. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ready to give up his country, his family, to give up everything, but not to give up his deen, his belief. And this is what it's supposed to be for every Muslim. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have the most perfect example in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compromised from the first day, what we're going to be doing today? Says the Prophet, he compromised. Oh Muhammad, don't talk bad about our gods. Oh Muhammad, worship our gods one day, we worship your God one day. Oh Muhammad, what do you tudhinu fa yudhinun? If you compromise, says they can compromise. Okay? Don't talk about la ilaha illallah. What do you want? You want women? You want money? You want authority? Tell us, Muhammad, stop saying la ilaha illallah. Whatever you need, we give it to you. But this issue about la ilaha illallah, we don't want it. If this what's happening to you is an illness, is some hidden forces touching you like a chain, let's get the best doctor in our own society, and we can treat you, Muhammad. If what you're doing is because they're taking positions, we did not make any decision without asking you. If it is that you're taking money, we collect the money from all the tribes, we make you the rich, the most rich one among us. What it is, women, we give you the best women among us. Marry them, have them. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not ready for it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have to set example for me and you. My question to you today, when we're talking about the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hijrah of the Prophet and the sacrifice of the Prophet, let me ask you a question, and you give the answer to yourself. What about if you've been given a choice between your religion and your green card? What are you going to do? What about if you've been given the choice between your belief and your citizenship? What are you going to do? Brothers, sisters, alhamdulillah, most of us, we didn't face this situation yet. And we pray and we hope that we never face it. But we see that some Muslims voluntarily, they're ready to give up their belief or their deen because some money. Do you think somebody forced you to sell khamr, sell wine? Anybody force you to open a nightclub? Anybody force you that you deal with usury? Did anybody say we're going to take your green card if you don't open a convenience store? What's wrong with us? Money. This is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. لكل أمة فتنة وفتنة أمة المال أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's a temptation. Temptation. Every nation has a trial against. And the test of this ummah is wealth, money. And today we see people, because money, they don't go to Jum'ah. And if they go, they go for the last minute to catch the two rak'at, and this is it. We see some people, they give up their deen. If they've been given a choice between being a Muslim or practicing Muslim, listen, you could not pray at all. Your belief, you can do it there in your mosque. But here, sir, I have a lunch hour. I don't care if you have a lunch hour or not. No prayer in the job. And you need to work. We don't have enough workers, and you have to eat your lunch sitting on your table. What about if somebody tell you, sister, you could not come, ma'am, you could not come to the shop with this thing over your head, i.e. the headpiece. Are you going to give up your hijab because you're going to lose your job? Does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the good example for us, giving up everything, wealth, position, women, for the sake of Allah? And was not only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he bought himself as a teacher, as example, and the believers and the Sahaba, they learned this. Look to Bilal, look to Sumayyah, look to Al-Yasir, the whole family. What happened to them? They went through this persecution for their deen. They didn't give it up. What's wrong with some Muslims? They celebrated the Hijrah with some songs and music. But when it comes to the reality of knowing what is the hijrah, they ready to make hijrah from their deen to the dunya. Not hijrah from the dunya to the deen. It's very serious. I'm telling you, this deen is not a joke. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. This is a serious talk. It's not a joke. And Allah says, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Take what I gave you seriously. Don't play with your deen. Don't sell your deen because some reefer, some drugs. Why most Muslims came, left their country and came to America? Because dunya. And whoever the dunya made a turn, they're going to make the turn behind the dunya. Do you think what you came for to America for what? Why? Wherever the dunya is going to make a turn, you behind this dunya. You'd be surprised. In 1 second, you can lose the whole dunya. Or the dunya will kick you out of it and you go someplace else. Why people come into America? Because what? A better life. when we're going to do something for a better deen, for a higher position in Jannah. Oh brother, this is something we'll talk about it later. وَقْتَلَّ يَعِنَ اللَّهِ. Why some Muslims, they don't pray Jum'ah? Nobody threatening you to put you out of the country. I understand that some people maybe come to America to avoid persecution, because the honor of the human being or the honor of a Muslim been already thrown out of the window by so-called Muslims. In many countries, in Islamic countries, if you have a medal in your shoulder, doesn't matter if it's 1 star or 10 stars, even if you wear it only in a uniform, you look like a soldier, you have the right to step with these shoes with your boot over a neck of a Muslim on the ground. You have the right to summon on him, call him by his mother name, because there is no dignity for the Muslims among many Muslim places. So I understand if somebody had left his country to come to here, but anybody telling you give up your deen, you do it with your own choice. Most of us, we giving up little bit here and little bit here and compromising our deen with our own choice. We should give credit to America also to sometimes. You can be the worst criminal and the police will stop you in the middle of the street and say, sir, you're under arrest. Mr. So-and-so, you're under arrest. He could not tell you, use the mother such and such and such. But if you are in a Muslim country, somebody can say to you with no big deal. Why? So we understand that some people, they come for safety. But what is bad, that some people after come here for safety and refuge, they turn to be terrorists or fighting people, and after this they give bad name to Islam and Muslims. This is not fair. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Mecca, he didn't leave it for vacation. He's gone to Medina for a couple of weeks and come back, have a fresh air and come back. The Prophet of Allah, he is the Prophet of Allah, he has to be in a cave. He has to run away. He has to leave by night. And this is the Prophet of Allah. So Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set example for us that when it comes to dunya and the deen, give your dunya to save your deen. When you are faced by any calamity or faced by any test, be ready to give your money first before you give your deen. Be ready to compromise your money and your position before you compromise your salah and your belief. This is what we need to understand. This is what we need to be here for, because soon or later we're going to be leaving, and the store and the business and the name and the position, you're going to leave it behind you. So you better make your own hijrah before you have to migrate yourself. I try to make salah before the Muslims make salah in you, make salah janazah in you. It starts to take your ghusl and verify yourself as a Muslim before somebody else giving you a shower when you are dead in the table, they washing you. Remember this moment. It's going to come, believe it or not. And this moment doesn't know a child or a woman or a sick or a healthy person. You can be the most worthy person, or you can be the most healthy person, and this will come to you. This will come. And I want to tell you one thing, my dear respected brothers. Wallahi subhanallah, it's so amazing. Death is so close to us in a way that we could not imagine. Last week I saw death for about a minute and a half or 2 minutes for almost about 5 of my children. I saw it. But I saw something can be worse than this. It happened for 2 minutes. and I was running to save my children from death or from something can be worse than death, because maybe when your child be alive and he have to be have 10 operations to be alive and they have to put different limbs for him, maybe you will hope that he will die better. But believe it or not, was not my running, was not my concern. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the 5 children with nothing. And does not have to be in the highway to die. Crashed by a trailer or a 16-wheeler. It can be only between one sidewalk to the other. A car accident can happen. In a parking lot. Anything can happen. I saw the death for some of my family last week. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so merciful. None of the children. After 2 minutes, my mind went, they already dead, or they going to be 3 pieces each person. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. And I thank Allah, and alhamdulillah. But it shows you how much you run away from this, or you come closer to this, is not going to come to you, unless Allah had decreed. This is with like a shadow for you. You don't know this. It's like a shadow. Your shadow doesn't leave you. But because maybe a lot of light there, you don't see your shadow. But be aware, it's not for you to compromise your deen for anything. Even for green card. Even for a citizenship. But you did not face this yet. When Bilal radiallahu anhu had faced this choice, and he was a slave, he was not even a free man. He chose Allah. He chose Allah. And he left his master to do to him whatever. When Sumayya was a woman, and she was the first martyr in Islam, being shot by a kafir in her private parts with a spear, and she was dead. For no reason except just see the Muslim. Do you know anybody telling you, be a kafir or I'm going to kill you or I'm going to persecute you? But you go making a fear for yourself. You try to imagine things. Your weakness is because you left the wilayah of Allah and you choose the wilayah of the shaitan. And Allah say, Allah waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the protector and the friend of those who believe. As for the shaitan, awliya'uhum al-shaytan. As for the non-Muslim, weak Muslim, not practiced Muslim, your wali, your friend, your protector, your company will be the shaitan. So brothers and sisters in Islam, there is nothing more value in your life. And you are not even in this life only because Islam you are here. Only Allah has created you to worship Him, to obey Him, to enslave yourself for Him. So, engage in what Allah has created you for. Stop playing too much. Stop wasting time. Time is running. And some people will say, I'm celebrating because in 1 year we're starting a new year. You're starting a new day every day and a new hour, a new time of salah. When Zuhr comes, this is a new time for you. It's not Fajr anymore. You need to start something, a clean page with Allah. When tomorrow comes, this is a new day for you. You don't have to wait for another year for you to be a better Muslim. You don't have to wait until you go to make Hajj. So when you come with Tawbah. Come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any time. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَقْصُطِ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ النَّهَارِ ويقصط يده بالنهار ليتوب مسيء الليل. Allah extends His hand for the sinner of the night. Allah extends His hand by night for the sinner of the day, he may repent to Him. And Allah extends His hand, i.e. for forgiveness, for the sinner of the night, he may repent in the morning. So the tawbah is there. The door for tawbah and repentance and coming to Allah is there. And for you to try to maintain your Islam, before anything else. because Islam is what's going with you to the grave, and the shop, the car, everything is going to be left behind you. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين. Again, I see that the time running, and as I promised, I'm going to try to limit myself to the time. But I want to give you a quick example about the sacrifice. That you never sacrifice your deen for anything, and this happened with the migration also, and this happening with a family. The family unit, the family of Abu Salama. When Abu Salama is the first one to migrate, when the people of Mecca got to know about Abu Salama is leaving, he waited for him. Abu Salama prepared his camel, he put his wife on top of the camel, and his baby Salama on her lap. He got his camel, pulled the rope, and walking, they stopped him and say, no way. Abu Salama already was in Habasha, so he made the first hijrah. He came back to Mecca, thinking things getting better, but he found it got worse. He tried to leave again, and he's taking his family. They said no. In-laws, they said no. His in-laws, he said no. You want to go? You are not taking our daughter. You are not taking our daughter. You can go by yourself. But our daughter is not leaving Mecca. You want to make hijrah, go by yourself. So Abu Salama has no choice except to make the sacrifice. Forget about my wife for the sake of Allah. Now, the family of Abu Salama, when they found the in-laws took their daughter, they said, Abu Salama could not take her baby because this is ours. This is the son of our sons. Now bring us the son. Became a fight over a baby. Finally, they dislocated his arm. His arm came out of his body, dislocated. And they took the boy. So what's happening now? Ummu Salama was no husband, was no child. Ummu Salama, every day, as she reported, for almost a year, she will come to a place called Al-Attah and sit there and cry until almost sunset. For a whole year, she lost her husband, she lost her son. Finally, a person felt bad for her and he went talk to the people, let this woman go, let her go to her husband, let her to go to her husband. Finally, they said, okay, you can go. And the other family gave her her son. And she went for a journey. It may take 2 to 3 weeks by herself in the desert so she can be among those who make hijrah. Finally, a non-Muslim, a person has some kind of dignity, he meeting her and say, where are you going, Ummu Salama? She said, I'm going to go catch with my husband. He said, by yourself? He said, yes. He said, no way. And this is Uthman, Maz'un, not Uthman ibn Affan. He said, he was not Muslim at that time. And he said, no way. He took the robe of the camel, and he said, I'm going to take you all the way to the Medina. When he arrived there, he said, your husband will be by this tent there. You go ahead. May God keep you well. And he returned. This is the people. He was not Muslim, but have the respect for a lonely woman. And the way how we want to go in details will take the time. But I want to jump and give you some example about these women of Sahaba. I want to give you something to understand something very important about this life that we live in, brothers and sisters. This, Abu Talha and Ummu Salim. Ummu Salim, she have a baby. The baby was ill. Abu Talha, which is the father of this child, he went out, he come back from his journey, say, how is the baby now? She said, huwa askan mimma kana alay. He is much better than he was before. She prepared dinner for him, she fed him, And after this تصنعت له أحسن ما تتصنع المرأة لزوجها. And after this she got herself ready for her husband and she went to sleep together. After this she said, I want to ask a question. What is the question? See, if some people lend something to the neighbors, some neighbors lend us a pot, axe, a knife, whatever. Now they come in asking for what they lend us. Should we get mad to return it to them? He said, no. I ask you, brother, give me your car, please. I need to go downtown. I'll be back for 15 minutes. I came back, he asked me, give me the keys for my car. Should I be angry? Brother, should I be angry? Of course not, is it? You understand what I'm saying? You understand me? Somebody lend you something. All right, can I borrow your pen to write the phone number? I give it to you. Now I said, can I have my pen? Will you get mad at me? He said, no. He said, إِذَنْ فَاحْتَسِبْ وَلَدَكْ. So, treat your son the same way. I.e., Allah gave us our son as a loan. We don't own him. This is something temporary to be with you. All right? This is a loan. Now Allah wants back what he lent us. So this is what happened to your son. You see? This is a Muslim woman. What does that say, my dear respected brothers? Your wife, your husband, your car, your house, your wealth, the checkbook, the credit card, all the things is temporary. And soon or later, it has to be returned. It has to be returned. And my advice to you today, that prepare yourself when this moment of return comes, because this will make it easy in you. If you are not living this in your mind and prepare this, you may fall ill, sick, you may go crazy, you don't know how to handle yourself. Prepare yourself, brothers and sisters. Everything you have is alone, and soon or later it has to be returned back to the lawful owner, which is Allah. Your son, your daughter, your children, your cars, your money, your husband, your wife. So if your husband tomorrow says, bye, I don't need you anymore. So, bless your way. If you have nothing with you, and you're going to live from this life with nothing, so whenever there's time to be taken back, give it back. Don't get nervous. Drop down to what? To the prayer rug. Go to Allah and call on Allah, and if you want to cry, cry to Allah. Don't cry to a human being. A human being could not do anything to you. Cry to Allah. Go back to Allah and ask Him. I close my khutbah with statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he been asked about the fasting of Ashura. He said, يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَ الْمَاضِيَةِ. سَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمَ عَاشُرَى وَأَمَرَ بِالصِّيَامِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had commanded the fasting of يوم عاشوراء. He fasted and he said to the people to fast يوم عاشوراء. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم been questioned about the fasting of عاشوراء, he said, is expiation for the past year. Is expiation for the past year. عاشوراء, it may be Sunday or Monday. Allah knows best. But for the safe side, you should fast Sunday and Monday. The fasting of Ashura has nothing to do with the death of the killing or the martyrism of Al-Hussein. May Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu. So we are not fasting Ashura to celebrate the death or the martyrism of Al-Hussein. Understand this. We fasting this because this is the day that Allah has saved Musa, Moses alayhi salam, and the believers with him from Fir'aun. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, he fasted this day and he commanded us to fast as a means of appreciation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he saved Moses and the believers. So for those, inshallah, who are looking for this great reward, forgiveness for a whole year, first Sunday and Monday, inshallah. I beg Allah's forgiveness, and I remind myself and you again that all what we have is not ours. We are a temporary holder. We did not own it. The only true owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So put your trust in the true owner, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Malik al-Mulk, Zul Jalali wal Ikram.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله
حي true owner which Allah سبحانه وتعالى مالك الملك ذو الجلال والإكرام
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله